Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 563 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. If you are listening and or watching in real time, you know that the show is dropping on Sunday, September 1st. Sorry, rewind. Monday, September 1st, 2025. And that means it is Labor Day here in the United States. And 2 years ago, I went back and checked the archives. I did a podcast on some of my favorite occupational gimmicks in wrestling. And that was, I was calling it six cents, kind of like a Mount Rushmore version of the podcast, but kind of branding it towards the My 1-2-3 Cents brand. I found that I don't necessarily think that works. No one, I think, owns the copyright on Mount Rushmore. I like the Mount Rushmore concept, and I'm probably eventually, Chad and I will reconnect and do more podcasts together, but the last few weeks have been a bit crazy schedule-wise for me, and I have not been able to make that happen. But maybe we'll do some Mount Rushmore style. Hope that microphone was plugged in at the beginning there. I just plugged it in all the way. I'm not able to listen to myself. I apologize. Jeez, I feel like I'm a little discombobulated here as I've actually been working over the weekend. In addition to, even though it is a holiday weekend, and I must say that I am extremely grateful to be in the job that I'm in now, because back in the news days, it didn't matter if it was a holiday or not, I was still working. So not getting up at midnight on Labor Day to go into work, so I'm happy and excited about that. But actually, also on the heels of the Clash in Paris event, I liked what I saw. I missed probably the first half of the show, so I don't know that I'll go back and watch, but I saw the highlights and the clips on social media, which again, grateful for those opportunities to be able to go back and rewind and watch things the way they are. But this was the last PLE on Peacock. I don't know what the future is going to hold for me in terms of ESPN. Going to look at some things and figure some things out. I know Peacock is going to broadcast the last two Saturday night's main events of 2025, including John Cena's last match. I'm looking forward to that. So I plan on keeping Peacock at least through the end of the year. But we'll see how things play out and what happens with the ESPN deal. And if I'm bundling with Hulu and Disney Plus, I think I can do that and still get the PLEs. I'm not sure. I'm going to look into that this upcoming week and figure that out. But I digress. I was talking about occupational gimmicks in wrestling. And, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, it felt like there was a lot of the occupational gimmicks, especially in WWE. I don't know. I don't remember if JCP employed as much of that. I know WCW did slightly with some of their incarnations. Now, I went back and I didn't listen to the podcast from 2023, but I did go back and see who I ranked and who I listed. And my six at the time, not all wrestlers, not all in-ring wrestlers, some of them managers or personalities in wrestling, and that's kind of how I tied that in. But I had Dr. Britt Baker, who, of course, is a real-life dentist. And I still like the fact that they incorporated, AEW, that is, incorporated her real-life profession as a dentist into her wrestling persona. And it wasn't over the top. I liked that she put on the rubber glove and did her finishing move, which was, I don't know what it was officially called, but it was some sort of mandible claw. The Big Boss Man, of course, the prison guard from Cobb County, Georgia. My favorite cosplay at WrestleMania was the Big Boss Man, Chad's idea to do the Big Boss Man and the Mountie, who we'll talk about on this podcast a little bit more in just a few minutes. Brother Love, who was a TV evangelist of the 1980s. That was a big thing back in the day. And actually, Brother Love ended up being one of my favorite personalities in wrestling. If I did a Mount Rushmore of wrestling personalities, Brother Love would be on there for sure. Brutus the Barber Beefcake went from, you know, Brutus Beefcake, which I think subtly in the early days of the Beefcake gimmick in the, 84, 85 was kind of like a Chippendales dancer. But again, this was a cartoony era of wrestling and kids and all that. Because I feel like I remember a vignette where he was like in a nightclub or something before he actually debuted in 1984. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that was where they were leaning towards with him. And then, of course, by 1987, he's a babyface, becomes a good guy, and starts cutting hair as a result of the Adrian Adonis Rowdy Roddy Piper match at WrestleMania 3, and gets the Barber moniker, which he carried on for several years until he was injured and off the shelf for a while, and came back in 1993, still living that persona, living that occupational gimmick. And then in WCW, kind of bounced around with different, I'm sure Brutus Beefcake and Barber were all trademarked by Vince McMahon at the time. So we got several incarnations of the Ed Leslie character, but none as good or as entertaining, in my opinion, at least, as Brutus the Barber Beefcake. I just liked the gimmick. I was a teenager at the time. So yeah, Brutus Beefcake was one of those guys that I really did enjoy. Doink the Clown, you know, I love the Doink the Clown. You know, if I'm going in my Mount Rushmore of gimmicks, Doink is definitely on that list. The early Doink, the Matt Bourne heel version, 92, mid to late 93. I loved Doink the Clown and the things that he did in the ring. It was something different, but it was still kind of fit into that cartoon, especially the early version where he was the bad guy coming out there and doing things. It got more cartoonified and more new gen kid friendly with Dink and then all the other little guys that came in and wrestled with Doink at Survivor Series. So the gimmick itself kind of ran its course fast, I think, faster than it probably should have. I think Matt Bourne's departure was a big part of that. But again, they decided somewhere along the way, let's make Doink a good guy. And then last but not least on my list, and this was not in any particular order, was Paul Bearer, who the occupation was being the mortician for The Undertaker, which, you know, when you go back and look at it in those early days, was The Undertaker an occupational gimmick? Yeah, I think he was. He had the body bag. He did the embalming, you know, the funeral parlor set, the coffins, the caskets, doing those matches and doing all of that. It was very much so, I think, an occupational gimmick, and one that I think a lot of folks continues to resonate with all these years later. And I know there was a time there where he wasn't the dead man anymore, and he wasn't, because here's the other thing, and maybe this is an argument here. I'm arguing with myself now. With the mystical powers that the Undertaker possessed, you know, an Undertaker, the old school Undertakers, or a mortician, a funeral director, they don't have those powers. So maybe the Undertaker wasn't occupational. Maybe it was more of a mythical, magical gimmick and not an occupational gimmick. Weigh in. And while you're weighing in, let's weigh in on this one too. Diesel. We know him as Kevin Nash, but back in 93, 94, 95, 96, he's in the WWF wrestling as Diesel. Came out to the sound of a big rig. Was it a truck driver gimmick? I heard that recently suggested, and by recently, say in the last 6 to 9 months, that Diesel was a truck driver. I don't think so. I think he was a bodyguard with a name, and they explained it. They being, I believe it was Bruce Pritchard, explained it one time on the podcast that Shane McMahon came up with the name Diesel because at the time it meant like a big buff guy or something along those lines. I don't remember exactly how the story went down, but I never really thought of it as a truck driver gimmick. He didn't wear the traditional truck driver cap, and I know there's stereotypes associated with some occupations and whatnot. I don't think Diesel was a truck driver gimmick, though. What do you guys think? And I think Kevin Nash has even weighed in on his podcast, Click This. So let me know what you think. Was Kevin Nash a truck driver as Diesel, or was it just the name that went along and you know, because it was Diesel, they had the truck driving or the truck music and whatnot, if you will. I actually went to my good friend ChatGPT to see about some other wrestling gimmicks and what they threw out there as suggested ones. And some of them they picked up on the ones that I did the podcast on 2 years ago, including Brother Love, Paul Bearer, Dr. Britt Baker, Doink the Clown, and the Big Boss Man. They threw out Duke the Dumpster Drosy, which was, of course, a sanitation guy, a trash man, if you will. The Mountie. Who didn't love the Mountie? I mean, Jacques Rougeau, who was a bit obnoxious, I think, even as Jacques Rougeau, especially, you know, when they brought the Rougeau brothers in 86, I guess it was, as good guys. I thought they were boring. They're pretty plain. But by 88, when they turned him heel and put him with Jimmy Hart, I think that was an excellent pairing. And then eventually Ray Rougeau retired, so Jacques stuck around. But again, we're in that era of occupations or having to refresh, revamp. We got Tito Santana as El Matador, who was a longtime WWF guy before that. And they kind of did that with Jacques Rougeau as well, making him the Mountie. And that lasted for a while. And I liked the shock stick and the bombastic over-the-top behavior that he had, you know, being loud and obnoxious. And it worked. And the feud with the Big Boss Man was perfect. You had the Canadian. And I don't know why Canada was always pegged as the bad guys throughout the years in wrestling. But it was, you know, whether it was Dino Bravo or in this case, the Mountie. Eventually, we saw it with Chris Jericho and with Bret Hart in 1997. You know, it was the Canada versus U.S. thing. It was always interesting that that was kind of the route that they would go. But yeah, the Mountie was that perfect villain, that perfect foil for the Boss Man, I think. And, you know, Chad and I cosplayed that at WrestleMania back in 2023, at WrestleMania 39. Great times, great memories. But yeah, I think the Mountie was one. He had the big match with Boss Man at SummerSlam 91, where the loser had to go to jail, spend the night in jail. I think, if I remember correctly, this was at the Garden, this particular SummerSlam. So NYPD come in and arrest him and haul him off to jail. It was great stuff. Now, ChatGPT does list The Undertaker as being a occupational gimmick, a mortician who evolved into one of the greatest personalities ever, is what it says. I'm debating. Because he was summoning lightning, he was raising up from the, you know, when he was knocked out, when he got buried alive, his hand pops out of the ground. So I'm having a hard time with Undertaker being an occupational gimmick. This is going to be interesting. I don't know. Y'all weigh in. Let me know what you think. Was The Undertaker originally intended to be an occupational gimmick? Paul Bearer, I still think, was, because he summons the power for The Undertaker with the urn. We saw that for years going on. So I'm torn. I am very much so torn on that one. Tax guy, IRS, Mike Rotundo, the former Mike Rotundo, became IRS in 1991 again. Also, again, this is the era where they're turning their longstanding traditional guys into occupational. I think part of it helps with the branding and the copywriting and the trademarking. And this is a more toyetic figure than a Mike Rotundo figure, I would say, from, you know, 88. 87, 86, when Mike Rotundo was wrestling, even as Captain Mike, So I think part of it is the toyeticness of things, the marketability of some of these characters. You know, Tito Santana going from just the plain blue or white trunks to the flashier, more colorful El Matador gimmick. I mean, it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. So IRS, the evil tax accountant, because who likes to pay taxes? Nobody. So people love to hate. You know, some occupations I think are more inclined to be that heelistic person. Clarence Mason was the attorney, a playoff of Perry Mason and Clarence Mason, Clarence Thomas, I guess, from the Supreme Court. But yeah, kind of a and I'm trying to remember, Johnny Cochran, you know, was an attorney for O.J. Simpson back in the day and around the time when all this was coming out. But Clarence Mason was a heel, and people didn't like him because the perception of attorneys is we don't like them. We're going to boo them. The Goon, another fun one, who is an action figure, the former Wild Bill Irwin, for whatever reason, comes to the WWF and becomes a hockey player, a goon. That's what the name was or is, I guess, in the NHL or in hockey. It's the enforcer style is called a goon. Duke, oh, I mentioned Duke the Dumpster Drosy. TL Hopper, the plumber, remember him? That was the dirty white boy, Tony Anthony, who had a pretty successful career in the Smoky Mountains and Mid-Atlantic, and I think maybe not Mid-Atlantic, maybe it was more continental in that area. I remember reading about him more so in the After mags than anything else. Then he comes into the WWF as a bad guy and carrying around a plunger and had the plumber gimmick. And it was, you know, I go back now and watch some of these on YouTube, and it's silly. Awesomely bad stuff. Awesomely bad stuff. I think Dr. Isaac Yankem, you know, we talked about Britt Baker being, and I think I talked more about Isaac Yankem back in the day on that podcast 2 years ago, where a more over-the-top dentist version than Dr. Britt Baker obviously was. Some other over-the-top funny ones, Sparky Plug, who was a rash car, a race car driver that became Bob Holly, who morphed into, of course, Hardcore Holly. I think had more success in that than he did as Sparky Plug, or I think he was Thurman Sparky Plug at one time, or Sparky Thurman Plug, some STP, the oil company. I think that was all kind of a tie-in to the gimmick. I'm glad that one kind of evolved. I was not a big fan of that. The Godfather, a pimp. Pimping ain't easy. It's an occupation. It's an occupation. He had a lot of hoes to deal with and handle on the hoe train. Hillbilly Jim, and you know, being a farmer, and along with then eventually he managed them for a brief period too. Henry Godwin and Phineas Godwin, they were pig farmers, hog farmers, so they also fell into that farming occupational gimmick style. It all kind of worked out. You know, they were silly but fun, and it made sense again in that era and at that time. Trying to think here, I've kind of gone through the list mostly that ChatGPT has given me as far as some of the more legendary or memorable ones. But I'm curious. I want to know who were some occupational gimmicks that you enjoyed. Are there any today that exist? And I'm kind of racking my brain, at least in the WWE, AEW, TNA sphere, you know, the non-indie level. I'm trying to think, and I can't really think of many or any that are currently in WWE or AEW, at least, that are quote unquote occupational wrestlers. You know, back in the day with Stride Pro Wrestling, and by the way, plug, Stride is returning on Friday, October 10th. Tyler Heath Hatton will join me on the podcast here soon as well. We'll talk more about what you can expect from Stride Return. It's one night only at Crab Orchard High School, but you know, Dexter Roswell. Originally, the original Dexter Roswell gimmick was he was a politician. You know, he was running for office and going to make wrestling great again, make Stride great again. So that morphed into a more demonic and you know, the Bloody Dexter, kind of a crazy schizophrenic monster-ish type character. So there was an evolution there with that. I'm trying to think, were there any other occupational gimmicks? And nothing else really jumps out or comes to me other than, of course, Farmer Billy Hills, the current Stride heavyweight champion, which we did the whole down on the farm with Billy Hills a couple of times in Stride, and then as well as in AAPW, having some fun with that and those great memories and great times. But I want to know, who are some of your favorite gimmicks? And then again, let's go back to that question. Was the, I say gimmicks, occupational gimmicks, and was the Undertaker an occupation? I'm going back and forth on this. So someone convinced me to go one way or the other. Right now, I'm saying no, it was not an occupation. I think it was intended to be, but as the Undertaker grew more popular, he had more of those mystical powers, and it became less about the body bags and all that, and more about the powers that he summoned and was able to do. So weigh in, let me know, and don't forget about the My 1-2-3 Cents Wrestling Figure Drive. It is going on until that first week of December. We're collecting figures, collecting cash, going to make some purchases and make sure the kids here in Southern Illinois have a great Christmas as well. Thanks for listening and or watching to this week's episode. We will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.